It's hard at times to exactly imagine how things happened to Jesus as he was going about his ministry. I say that because it seems odd to me in today's gospel that we hear that Jesus seems to be interrupted by a story that is told about how Pilate had mingled their blood with their sacrifices. It must have been quite the story of the day, because it indicates that the Romans had gone into the temple and slain some Galileans, even as they were making their sacrifices. It must have been what all of Jerusalem and the surrounding areas were buzzing about. How this terrible thing had happened. How these people, as they were giving their sacrifices, were actually killed in their place of worship. As Jesus is told this story, he asks the question, do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, that they were the worst sinners than all other Galileans? That is the kind of question sometimes people ask when terrible things happen. Did this happen because they were the worst of all sinners? Had they done something that merited God's disfavor, so much so that they should suffer in this way? It's curious, but that question is still asked today when people suffer terribly. In this case, Jesus says, no. I tell you, but unless you repent, all will suffer, all will perish as they did. And to this, Jesus adds his own story, an equally tragic story, about 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. He asks the same questions. Do you think these people who were killed were the worst offenders, worst others than other people living in Jerusalem? And Jesus answers his own question. No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did. There are some people who feel that when terrible things happen, well, perhaps the people who suffer receive that suffering for something that they have done. That perhaps they've done something to merit that kind of suffering. That God is punishing them specifically because of something that they have done. Jesus wants to dispel that thinking. But he does want to remind us that if we do not repent, we will suffer. He reminds his disciples and he reminds us that this is true. That those who are unrepentant will indeed suffer, if not necessarily in this life, certainly in a life yet to come. Suffering, unfortunately, is a part of life. And as I look out over the congregation, I'm sure there's some people who have suffered gravely. Something's happened to you or to your family or to your friends or where you work or where you go to school or to your friends. Parents, there's some way that suffering has crept into each one of our lives. I suppose we should take some comfort that God did not necessarily do this in order to punish us for our sinfulness or punish those whom we love. It does not, however, remove the fact that suffering comes into our lives. And it is perhaps only this last part of this morning's gospel that is helpful to us. We are warned that we need to repent. And that's consistent with our Lenten season. This is a time for self-examination. This is a time to recognize that we've made mistakes in our lives. This is a time for us to consider that perhaps we have not done some good thing that we could have done or should be doing. Lent is a time for repentance. I have to tell you, it amazes me. I have met a few people in life, not many, who probably don't understand repentance at all. They don't examine their lives very carefully, and they never ask for forgiveness. If they make a mistake, all they do is pick themselves up and go on. And if they have hurt people, all they hope for is the fact that they will not hurt that same person the same way again. They don't think about asking for forgiveness. They don't think about changing their lives in ways that are helpful. You know, when I think about it, some of you have pets, right? When was the last time your dog or cat repented to you, asked for your forgiveness? Cats and dogs don't do that. They don't think about things like that. You know, you can perhaps guilt a dog. You can say, you did something bad. And the dog will hang its head. And then maybe a day or two later do exactly the same thing. You can't. Animals are hard to convince that they need repentance. Human beings, on the other hand, we should understand that. We should recognize that we make mistakes. And we should be sorry when we make mistakes. And as possible, we should ask for forgiveness to each other and certainly to God when we make mistakes. And it's easy to make a mistake. We live in a very complicated world. And sometimes we do it and we don't even know we're doing it. Moreover, there are good things that we should be doing and we're just oblivious to it. There are opportunities to reach out to others with Christian love, and it's as though we don't even know other people exist at times because we're so caught up with our own life. I understand that. But Jesus says we must repent, or something terrible will happen. And so during this Lenten season, I'm going to encourage you, we still have some more time, we still have some more opportunities to consider our own lives, to consider what we are doing and what we are not doing, and how our lives should change. The world is changing constantly. There are some things in our own lives which probably need to change. And now's a good time to change them. This morning's gospel ends with good news. It ends with hope. For we are told this parable of the fig tree. The fig tree which will not produce figs. It has not produced figs for 3 years, and the owner of the fig tree says, cut it down. Why should we be wasting the soil? There is a good gardener, a patient gardener, a loving gardener who says, no, let's give it one more year. Let's give it one more year of care and attention and love and certainly manure. And manure is important. Let's take care of this tree. Let me baby it for a year. And if it bears fruit next year, well and good. And if it doesn't, you can cut it down. Nothing in life is certain. No one knows how much time they have on this planet. There are people today in hospitals, people today in difficult circumstances, that if you told them they're going to live one more year, they would jump for joy. Most of us, on the other hand, if we were told we were only going to get one more year, would be gravely wounded by that fact. How we use our time is a great expression of our Christian faith. Some people think they're going to live forever on earth. That's probably not true. Probably not going to live forever here. So if you need to make some changes with your life, now's a good time to start. One day you will live forever. And frankly, I think you'd like to live forever in a place that our Lord and Savior has prepared for you. Let us rejoice that we still have time to be productive, to share God's word with others, to love other people as God continues to love us, to use our time and talents in new and different ways. I'm always amazed that people don't know how smart or how talented or how able they are until they try. There are places that we should be going and things we should be doing we can't imagine right now. Perhaps we should start trying. God has given us the opportunity to be productive. Let us not disappoint Him. Perhaps we have a year, perhaps more. Let's use our time well and for good purpose. As I heard this scripture once preached, the pastor went on to say, we need to be good gardeners to one another, as God is a good gardener to us. We need to encourage others in their faith, as God continues to encourage us in our faith. In some ways, we need to be manure spreaders. And if you've ever lived in a farming community, you understand what a manure spreader is. It's not a particularly pretty picture, but it's incredibly a productive instrument, a productive piece of equipment. Let us share those things which allow other people to grow in their faith. I think of our young people, what a blessing they are. Many of you saw Mamma Mia just not very long ago. What a wonderful job our young people did. And what a wonderful job our young people continue to do in our community and in our worship life. Let us be good gardeners to our young people. Let us be a blessing to those people in our congregation who are strong in their faith and are mature in their years, that they also might be a blessing. Let us be good gardeners in our lives and in our community so that we can help things to grow. God has given us a little time. Let us use it wisely. May God's word strengthen us in faith, so that we might continue to be a blessing to one another. Amen.